Welcome to worship with First Presbyterian Church in Bend. We practice what we call a spacious Christianity, where there's room for everyone, and we mean everyone. No matter where you find yourself on the faith journey, even if you find yourself without faith, you are so very welcome here. We welcome your questions and doubts and see them as gifts that invite us into deeper conversations. We celebrate diversity and believe it's a strength. And we remind you every single week that you are made in the image of God's goodness and that you are so very loved. You know, we do our best to live the spacious and radical love of Jesus so that all might have a chance to flourish in this world. As we try our best to practice a spacious Christianity, we hope here that you can find space to breathe, a faith you can believe in, and a God who believes in you. We're so very glad to worship with you in this way, but if you find yourself in the area on Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. or 10 a.m., we'd love to have the chance to greet you in person. Take a deep breath and know that whether you're sitting on the couch, at your desk, in bed, maybe even washing dishes, the presence of God's love is as close to you as your own breath. And it's my prayer today that you might have become aware and experience the presence of that love in a new way through our worship. Because when that happens, it changes the way we are present in the world. Welcome. The writer Anne Lamott says, "I do not understand the mystery of grace. Only that grace meets us where we are and does not leave us where it found us." For our prayer of confession, we reflect on the love of God. We reflect on the love God has for us. The love we witnessed in Jesus, a love that is expansive and boundless, a love that is unconditional, a love that is accepting and gracious, a love that shares our pain and grief, a love that is with us. A love that never leaves us or forsakes us. A love that is merciful, tender, gentle, compassionate. A love that is patient and kind. A love that does not insist on its own way. A love that turns enemies into friends, a love that recreates, renews, and restores us to wholeness, a love that forgives and forgives and forgives and forgives again. Oh God, before your love for us, we confess we have not so loved each other. Forgive us. As the psalmist said, forgive
Forgive, O God, all that binds us in fear, that we might radiate love. Cleanse our hearts, O God, that your light might shine in and through us. Create in us clean hearts. Put a new and right spirit within us. Friends, hear the good news. You are forgiven. May we now release the energies of love and forgiveness into the world. Amen.
Forgiveness, grounded in God's unconditional love, is the most challenging and probably the most important teaching of our Christian faith. In this world that's addicted to dealing with our pain by throwing stones at others and ourselves, you know, forgiveness is necessary if we want peace and if we want to live as everyday peacemakers. Jesus gives us the clearest picture of the heart of God. We see God's heart witnessing Jesus, looking into the very eyes of the ones who nailed the nails into his hands, saying, "Father, forgive them." Now, Jesus didn't say, "Take me down from this cross right now. Prove to me you're sorry and that you've learned your lesson, and well, then you might be forgiven." No, unbelievably, incomprehensibly, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them." You know, God doesn't parcel out forgiveness if you somehow prove that you are worthy of forgiveness. God's forgiveness isn't conditional. God is forgiveness. Desmond Tutu said, "There is no future without forgiveness." Forgiveness doesn't ignore, deny, or trivialize the realities of pain inflicted. Forgiveness releases us to live a different future, to write a different story. Now, when we talk about forgiveness, we often place the focus on forgiving others. And maybe the most important, the most difficult person to forgive is ourselves. The loudest voice you ever hear is your own voice. And our inner voice can be such a harsh critic, judging and condemning us for our past mistakes, for not being perfect, for not living up to our own or other people's expectations, condemning us for not being enough. Sometimes our condemnation of others, you know, throwing stones at others, is a projection of our own inner condemnation. My dad died 15 years ago. I mean, he was a good man. He taught me a lot about hard work and resilience. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to love me in the way I needed to be loved. I never once heard him say he was proud of me, or I never once received any kind of affection. I carried a lot of bitterness and hurt for a long time. I distanced myself thinking I was punishing him. You know, it's like the snake bite. It's not the bite that kills you, but the poison that's left in your system. No, we run after the snake, shaking our fists in anger, not realizing it's the poison in us that's doing the damage. With God's help, I forgave my father, you know, realizing that he really did the best he could with the resources that he had available to him. Forgiving my father didn't change him. It changed me. I mean, my heart of stone softened. It was really important for me to name and and to own my hurt. But I was no longer a hostage to my hurt. I mean, forgiving my father freed me to be the person I wanted to be, freed me to be there, to hold him as he breathed his last, telling him that he was loved and that he had nothing to fear. I forgave my father, but I wasn't able to forgive myself. I beat myself up with all of the, oh, you should haves, and, you know, if only. I didn't forgive my father until after his Alzheimer's had taken hold of him. I couldn't forgive myself for not forgiving him earlier. And I carried this heavy, heavy weight of guilt and shame for not being the son I think I should have been. You know, guilt is the weight we carry for our mistakes. You know, we're human. We all make mistakes. Shame is the even greater weight of feeling that somehow we are unworthy of forgiveness, that we are unworthy of love and belonging. I was able to forgive my father, but I really struggled to forgive myself. I buried myself in the silence of shame. Brené Brown says, shame cannot survive empathy. Shame cannot survive being spoken out loud. Again, the loudest voice we hear is that inner critic, that inner voice of judgment and condemnation. What if there's a different voice? A voice of compassion, a voice of forgiveness that speaks to our shame. A still, small voice that's always speaking to us if we listen. A voice calling us, always calling us back to our belovedness. That's the voice we hear in a story found in the Gospel of John. Picture it with me. Jesus is teaching in the temple with people standing around in a circle listening to him, and suddenly there's an interruption. A group of men, religious leaders, drag a woman into the middle of the circle. Their faces red with anger and self-righteousness. And according to them, this woman has violated the holiness code in the book of Leviticus, which lists adultery along with other offenses, like talking back to your parents, as a capital offense, punishable by being stoned to death. Now, the religious leaders are just simply looking for a way to trap Jesus, to publicly humiliate Jesus. They don't care about this woman. There is absolutely no regard for her as a human being. As is often the case, I suspect they were projecting their own shame onto her. Now, according to the custom of the day, the woman would be stripped to the waist as a token of shame. Terrified, defenseless, publicly humiliated, an angry mob of men shouting insults at her. The crowd now in a frenzy, the men with stones in their hands, ready to condemn. What do you say, Jesus? You know the law. Instead of answering, instead of reacting, instead of rising to the emotional level of the accusers, Jesus takes a deep breath, bends over, writes with his finger something in the dirt. What on earth is he doing? He slows things down. He allows a moment to breathe. He allows a moment to loosen the tight grip on the stones in their hands. I wonder how many stones we wouldn't throw if we took a moment to breathe. Jesus stands up, looks at each face, And I imagine Jesus almost whispering, so soft and gentle, they actually had to strain to hear. Let the one among you who is without sin throw the first stone. The woman lying on the ground holds her breath. I mean, they wanted Jesus to examine the law. Gently and gracefully, Jesus invites them to examine their own hearts. The oldest man in the crowd, one of the elders, looks at the stone in his hand, and he drops it, turns, and walks away. Then another, and another, and another, until they all dropped their stones and walked away. The woman still lying in the dirt, moments from an excruciating death, is hardly able to breathe. Now it's just the two of them. Where are they? Jesus asks. Has no one condemned you? Neither do I condemn you. Go on your way and sin no more. You are now free to live a new life. Go be the person God already believes you are. I do not condemn you. Now, were those words enough for this woman to forgive herself, to break free from shame? I'd love to know what happened next. I'd love to know what happened after Jesus said, I do not condemn you. What would her story now become? Here's what I imagine. I imagine Jesus looks at her, and she sees for the first time someone who loves her for who she is, a child of God. And Jesus says, you were not made for darkness, but for light. I do not condemn you. Go walk in the light. And hearing those words, it's as if she's able to breathe for the first time. She began to move slowly at first, fearing any second he might stop her and take it all back. But then she picks up speed. Bounds away like a child on the last day of school, set free for the summer. I like to imagine the days, weeks, months to come. She repeated those words to herself, seeing his gentle, loving eyes, hearing his voice. I do not condemn you. She can't say when it happened exactly, but one day she noticed that grace-filled voice of Jesus became stronger than the harsh, critical voice she carried inside her for so long. And she began to slowly reclaim her belovedness. She began to see not only herself, but others, even those who hurt her, through the same eyes of compassion and grace through which Jesus saw her. She began to live a new story. So what about those angry men ready to throw those stones? I mean, why are we so quick to throw stones at others? You know, it's easier to judge and condemn and throw stones than it is to examine why we're holding those stones in the first place. I so want to imagine that just as the grace of Jesus caused them to release the tight grip and drop the stones in their hands, I so want to imagine that they also began to release the pain and the judgment and the fear and the bitterness and the hate in their hearts as well. I need to imagine that because I want to imagine a new story. A new story is possible for ourselves. A new story is possible for our world. Our world is so addicted to dealing with pain, by throwing stones. There is no future without forgiveness. God is forgiveness. To imagine a new story seems impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And for now, just imagine you're standing before Jesus. Maybe you have a tight grip on the stone you're quick to throw at others. Maybe you're just simply used to throwing that stone at yourself. Or maybe you've been hiding a sense of shame for so long that your heart kind of feels like a stone. And you hear the words of Jesus. I do not condemn you. I do not condemn you. For now, simply breathe. Allow your heart to break open. Let those words fall in and find a place to settle so that you might hear them again and again and again. I do not condemn you. Go. Go. Be the person God already believes you are. May it be so.
I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know who are you. Say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I am weak. You say every failure, God, you have every victory.
Friends, God doesn't parcel out forgiveness as if you somehow have to prove that you're worthy of forgiveness. God is forgiveness. May we hear those words of Jesus. I do not condemn you. May we drop the stones in our hands and live as the people that God already believes we are. Go in the peace, love, and forgiveness of Christ. And may the love and forgiveness that you bring to the world bring peace to yourself and to others. Amen.
Friends, we sincerely hope you found this broadcast and worship meaningful. Please help us make it possible to reach others with the important message of a spacious Christianity. First Presbyterian seeks to serve Jesus by serving the needs of others, showing up in our community and the world when and where love and compassion are needed the most. Your generosity helps us to be generous in love and offer hope at a time when hope is in short supply for so many. Financial gifts, large and small, make a huge difference in helping us continue these broadcasts and helping us continue to serve the needs of others in our community and the world. You can give online at bendfp.org. You can use the QR code on your screen or mail a check to the church. We hope to see you again, and please reach out if we can support you in any way. Until the next time, may God bless you, and may you be a blessing to others.